Hello, everyone. I hope you're having a terrific Sunday. My name is Dr. Jason Uchida. I'm a doctor of naturopathic medicine and your host of this program on alternative medicine. Welcome one and all to the July 25th, 2004 edition of Wellness in the New Millennium. That's right, we're coming to you live. Thank you for joining me tonight. I missed... I'm reading from another week's program. All right, let's get the bugs out. But anyway, we missed Reverend Jim and Reverend Angela and Jim. They're taking a three-month sabbatical. We're going to be doing the same, not 3 months, but just for 2 weeks. So I'm going to be with you next on August 15th, 2004. So we're taking next week and the week after that off. But I'll be back on August 15th tonight. Our topic that we're going to be talking about is genetically engineered foods. That's right. You're going to learn how we alter foods genetically, what genes are spliced into these plants, the problems that may arise from genetic engineering, and which foods are genetically engineered today. And most importantly, how you can protect you and your family. All right. So we'll talk more about that in a few minutes. Again, I'm not going to be on the air next week and the week after. I'm coming back on the air on August 15th, 2004, and I'll be on most likely every week after that. Wellness in the New Millennium is brought to you by the leaders in the health, wellness, and alternative medicine industry. Nutrix Hawaii produces the bioastin, the natural astaxanthin, and organic spirulina pacifica in powder, crystal flakes, and tablets since 1983. The Flora Supplement Company produces of liquid phytocapsules and quality nutritional supplements for a healthy digestive tract, bone health, and detoxification. The Pan American MOA Foundation, promoting true health through art and beauty, nature farming, and jurei, the medical art from Japan. The Good Health Food Store, more than just a health store. Enzymatic Therapy, producing innovative quality supplements for your healthcare needs. Dr. Alex Concepcion at the Back to Health Center, serving Hawaii one spine at a time. And the Island Wellness Center, the chronic illness specialists. Please stay with me for more about health, wellness, and alternative medicine and about genetically engineered foods. Right after we take this very important sponsorship break with our friends from the Pan American MOA Foundation, Enzymatic Therapy, and the Flora Supplement Company.
You're listening to Dr. Jason Uchida of Island Wellness Center. Dr. Uchida is trained and licensed as a doctor of naturopathic medicine and has been in private practice for the past 14 years. Naturopathic physicians are the only doctors who are medically trained in the use of herbs, vitamins, and minerals. Dr. Uchida is currently a member on the State of Hawaii Board of Examiners in Naturopathic Medicine, and you may direct appropriate letters and phone calls to his office located at 615 Pīkoi Street, Suite 1114, Honolulu, Hawaii 96814, or phone 589-1955. You may also email Dr. Uchida at wellness@pdchawaii.com.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Jason Uchida, and you're listening to Wellness in the New Millennium on K108. Tonight, we are discussing genetically engineered foods. We're going to learn how foods are altered genetically, what genes are being spliced into which plants, the problems that may arise from genetic engineering, which foods are genetically engineered today, and more importantly, what you and your family can do to protect yourself from genetically engineered foods. Before we talk about genetically engineered foods, I wanted to just say thank you to the Wahiawa Buddhist Temple for inviting me out there and giving them a lecture today. It was a great group of people. About 30 people or so showed up, and we all learned about what naturopathic medicine was all about. They really treated me well. Probably a few of them may be listening tonight, so thank you very much. I had a great time, and I hope you learned something of importance to you. So genetically engineered foods, also known as genetically modified foods, GMO, standing for genetically modified organisms. I believe that's the term they use in Europe, but when you look at it scientifically, probably the more correct term would be genetically engineered food. So what is being engineered, and why all the firestorm of controversy around genetically engineered foods? You know, there's a lot of people out there who really don't care, for lack of a better word, but, you know, should we care? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. So unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, we kind of have to start from the beginning. So, you know, genes. So what are genes? What is genetics? Basically, everything has these things called genes or DNA. Basically, DNA stands for dioxynucleic acids. So that's the DNA. I hope that's correct. If somebody, let me check my notes. Got so many notes to look at. I want to also say I'm not an expert on gene therapy or genetically engineered foods. You know, I just have done quite a bit of reading on it, and just wanted to share what I know with the listening audience that probably, you know, most times you probably don't know much about what's going on with genetic engineering. So why should you care? Well, the FDA estimates that probably two-thirds of the foods in the supermarket shelves today have been genetically engineered, okay? So that's a big amount of food. So more than likely, every day you're eating something that has been engineered genetically. And the potential, you know, could be devastating if the naysayers, what they say, actually comes true, and we're going to be looking at that. But why do we want to alter genes genetically in the first place? You know, that's a good place to start. You know, why do we want to alter genes in plants? Well, basically, I guess one of the reasons why big drug companies like Monsanto want to splice in different genes is because, one, they want to make the plants more resistant to bugs. They want to make plants more resistant to pesticides. So, you know, if they can put more pesticides on the plant to kill the bugs, then, you know, they can maybe increase yields. One thought is so they can increase yields. Another idea is, you know, if we can have, they call them terminator seeds. Terminator seeds basically means that the seed will produce one crop and that's it. And then, you know, all the seeds on this crop are sterile, so the farmers have to keep buying these seeds from the producers of the seeds every year. And there was a great uproar, mainly because three-quarters of the world's farmers are poor, and they can't afford the seed money, or the money to buy seeds. These farmers, the three-quarters of the farmers of the world, actually produce about 20% of the foods for our world market. And another thought is, you know, we could feed the world if we could, you know, grow enough plants, vegetables and fruits and that kind of stuff. Actually, Greenpeace says we can actually already feed the world today if we just gave people our food, you know. So there goes that notion. So in general, that's kind of a few examples of why people are so interested in changing the genetics of plants. So how is it done? Okay, how is it done? And what's the problem with it? So before this genetic engineering, the way the, typically our genes in humans typically don't cross what they call vector barriers. Vectors meaning humans to humans, humans stay with humans, genetics, let's say dog genetics stay with dogs, insect genetics with insects, plants with plants. But with genetic engineering, now we can cross vectors. We can put a bacteria gene into a plant. We can put a fly gene into a plant. We can put fish genes into plants or into rats. So, you know, that's the scare. And why is it scary? We're finding out that it's not an easy thing to do. You know, the way the scientists may talk about it, or the companies that are championing genetic engineering, they make it sound so simple, like they do it correctly all the time today. But the scientists who study genetic engineering are very, very concerned because they see a lot of potential problems. One problem is, you know, when we splice in a gene into a genetic area, they call it the connection point, meaning we're going to put gene from a fly into this section of a plant. Where it's connected, they call it the connection point. These points are very unstable from generation to generation. So you may have increased amounts of abnormal cells or genes developing, so that can cause problems. And or you can have the gene jumping from the plant to an insect to bacteria to virus. So that is a concern. We could be making problems for ourselves, and I'll give you a few ideas or examples of what's going on with genetic engineering and the kinds of problems that we're seeing, or the concerns that some of the scientists are concerned with. So, you know, unfortunately, I'm not as prepared as I usually am. Not because I'm going to go on a two-week break. Monsanto created a, what is it called? It's called a Roundup Ready soybean. Okay, so Roundup Ready soybean, for you gardeners out there, is exactly right. It's, the soybean is so resistant to Roundup that you can use as much Roundup as you want and you won't damage the soybean. So the problem with that is, so they spliced in to the soybeans pesticide resistance, right? So if that's the case, and if this connection point where they spliced the gene is unstable, you have other weeds that can get a hold of the gene from pollens from that plant, and now these weeds have the same resistance to Roundup as the soybean. So we already have many examples of super weeds, they call it on the mainland, meaning these weeds have gotten hold of the gene from the Roundup Ready soybean and is resistant to herbicides. So that's one example. Another example is, you know, I have so many notes I can't find it, but I'm going to do my best to explain it. They have, I don't know if it's Monsanto, but a drug company has spliced in a bacteria, a gene from a bacteria into potatoes. And unfortunately, according to the FDA, about 3/4 of the potatoes we eat today have this bacteria spliced into it. So the bacteria, what it does is, it fends off the potato beetle. Okay, the potato beetle being the potato farmer's worst nightmare. They just ravage potatoes. So the idea is, man, we got to keep these beetles off the potatoes because, you know, they decrease our yield. So they spliced in a bacteria that kills the potato beetle. Okay, so we've been eating this potato now for 5 years or so without, you know, much, without too many of us knowing it. And they haven't done much studies on long-term side effects of having this bacteria in our body. So that's one of the concerns, is we don't know the long-term side effects of eating this potato that has a bacteria spliced into it that kills beetles. So if it kills beetles, I would imagine it could kill bigger things too, right? But it would just take higher dosages. So, you know, for those of you who eat French fries at McDonald's every day, you may want to heed that, because I'm sure, you know, McDonald's uses a lot of potatoes, man. So I'm sure they're using a lot of this potato. I forget the name of the potato. Hopefully, as I look through my notes tonight, I can kind of find it for you. But that's another example of how genetic engineering is being used today. The thought is that it's going to help food production and these kinds of things. Unfortunately, we don't know what kind of side effects will happen in the world today. So another thing that's happening is in New Zealand, the New Zealand government has contracted went into a contract with, I hate to pick on Monsanto, I can't remember who this company is, but it is a drug creating company who's spearheading bioengineering. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to develop tracts of forest in New Zealand that are have terminator seeds, so they basically they never flower. So the scientists say that if these trees never flower, they're going to kill off a lot of bugs, and it's really going to change the environment there, because when the trees flower, obviously, you know, like there's a lot of bees and flies and butterflies that come around, you know, they take the nectar, but they also pass around pollens and stuff, so it keeps the cycle of life going. But if they stop the trees from flowering, then you're going to have just a bunch of what they say earwigs and ants that just feed off of the trees, and you're probably not going to have a very healthy environment. And unfortunately, New Zealand, of all places, has already been contracted to create this kind of tracts of forests in New Zealand. All right, so those are a few examples of what genetic engineering or companies that are pioneering genetic engineering in foods have been doing. So let's see if I can find a couple of other ones that might be interesting for you. Oh, here's a good one. You know, in Ireland, there were scientists out there that was creating salmon that grew four times as fast as regular salmon, okay? So as soon as the Prime Minister of Ireland found out about this, he shut everything down. Because he was concerned that if one of these salmon got out in the wild and started to mate and the genes got passed on to other salmon, you're going to have a bunch of overgrown salmon that's going to be eating a lot of fish, you know. They're going to be changing the environment in the ocean also. So he knew that the potential is really great that one of these salmon may get into the natural environment and start causing changes to happen in the environment. And all of you have heard about the monarch butterfly, that some of the genes from, I think it was a bee that they spliced into corn, because the monarch butterfly does, I think, pollinate corn plants. They got the gene from the corn, and because the corn, the gene that came from the honeybee, I think made the corn sterile, the monarch butterfly have difficulty reproducing now. So that was the concern. So that what is meant by cross-vector contamination or cross-vector gene jumping. So that's the concern, that we're going to have all kinds of problems happening in such a short period of time, because, you know, it literally took, what, hundreds of millions of years for evolution to find its way in creating humans and roaches and flies and butterflies and praying mantis and all these other insects. And when humans get a hold of gene therapy or genetic engineering, and we're not responsible with it, we could cause devastating changes to happen that we can't even fathom, and that could change life on this planet literally within 10 to 20 years. And that's the concern with genetically engineered food. So it doesn't sound good any way you cut it. So if you have any questions on genetic engineering and genetically modified organisms or genetically modified foods, otherwise known as Frankenfoods, give me a call at 524-1080. And while I wait for your calls, we're going to go to a commercial break so I can sort out my notes and we can give you a little bit more information. When we come back, we're going to be talking about potential health risks to humans from genetically engineered foods. When we come back from commercial, hold on. Let me find my notes so I know who our sponsors are. And I got it. Here it is. You're tuned in to Wellness in the New Millennium on K108. I'm Dr. Jason Uchida. Stay with us for more about genetically engineered foods right after we take this very important sponsorship break with our friends from Nutrex Hawaii, Dr. Alex Concepcion, and the Back to Health Center and the Good Health Food Store. Welcome back. I'm Dr. Jason Uchida, and you're listening to Wellness in the New Millennium on K108. Tonight, we're talking about genetically engineered foods. And we have Cheryl on the line. Hi, Cheryl. You have a question for me or somebody out there?
Yes. You know, the papaya,
yes.
They've genetically engineered that one.
Right.
And so now papayas are plentiful.
Yes.
And the prices have gone down.
Right.
Now, what do they do to the papaya, and is it harmful?
You know, I'm not exactly sure, but I believe they spliced in a antiviral antibiotic into the papaya so that the virus that used to affect papayas would be killed. So that's why all of a sudden papayas became more plentiful. So there's a possibility that the virus or bacteria antibiotic that they put into the papaya can be transferred to other people or to us. So for instance, one of the concerns with the bacteria that has been put into the potato is that because it's a form of antibiotic, it's going to kill all kinds of bacteria. And if we eat it, it might kill the good bacteria in our gut, changing our flora, and potentially maybe even be causing genetic changes in the bacteria in us or in some of our cells. So that's the concern with genetic engineering.
Oh, my.
Sometimes, like the example you gave with the papaya industry, it can save it. But, you know, I've been hearing lately that there has been some kind of increase in the amount of damaged papayas lately. So I'm not quite sure about that, but that's what I've been hearing from some of my patients. So they could be having some problems with the virus mutating already, affecting papaya. So that's another concern too, is that viruses and bacteria, they're constantly altering their genes also to survive, because we can use antibiotics today on bacterial infections. And the concern was that if we use too much of these antibiotics, the bacteria will change itself to survive. And that's why we have a lot of resistant bacteria today. There is one bacteria now, the Staphylococcus bacteria, that is resistant to most antibiotics.
Oh, boy.
So that's a concern. So, you know, it may not cause any problems, but it may. And what kind of problems it causes, we don't know, because unfortunately, you know, we can't see the future. We can't see down the road. There's many millions of complex things that could happen. And, you know, some things may happen. We just don't know. And that's what the scientists are concerned about.
That's really most unfortunate, because papaya is a good food.
It is very good, you know. And
even if you try to grow your own, it's still the same.
It is.
You're getting the same kind of seeds. Even if you grew it in your own backyard, the seeds are the kind that...
If you're buying the genetically altered papaya, yes, you're going to get the genetically altered papaya. That's going to be resistant to the virus.
I don't think... Can you find the other kind?
It's very hard now. You know, you would have to have been... You know, your papaya trees would have to be, you know, older than 3 or 4 years old. And the concern is that some of the pollens of the papaya tree may travel, right, to other papaya trees and then turn the trees that were normal into more, have the genetic genes of the other papaya trees.
So if you eat them, I mean, you're going to get certain nutrition from it, but at the same time, you may be asking for trouble too.
You may, and that's, we don't know if it's bad right now. We know it's, you know, papaya is good, but we don't know about the bad effects, whether they're going to happen or not. But, you know, that's the question that these scientists have. Yeah, we just don't know.
So that leaves the consumer
to take responsibility.
Yeah, what to do.
Exactly, to decide if they want to eat the genetically altered papaya or to not. And, you know, so that's kind of why I wanted to have this radio program, so that people could make up their minds on what they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for your call. I wanted to talk about potential health effects that are happening already and what the scientists are concerned about. So obviously when you alter genes of plants, you're going to change the makeup of them. When you change the makeup of them, if it's new, our human body's digestive tract may not be used to digesting this food, and it's going to increase the amount of allergy type problems we have to these foods. So today we know that allergies have increased quite a bit over the last 20 years or so. Whether it's caused by genetically modified foods, medications, other foods, other things that are affecting our body or affecting these plants, we don't know, but most scientists believe it's a combination of all of the above. So potential that genetic engineering may trigger allergies in people. So allergies can come in the form of many different symptoms, from sinus problems, sinus congestion, itchy, watery eyes. It can come with chronic ear infections, skin problems, lung problems like asthma, bronchitis, headaches, fatigue. You know, so the list of allergy symptoms are great. Scientists are concerned that that genetic engineering will cause even more allergies to come about. Also, when we genetically engineer plants, we don't know the relation between the genes themselves in the plant. So we may be turning on genes that were silent before. We may be triggering different communication within the genes of a plant. And that will change many things that happen. Scientists are concerned that genetically engineered plants may become carcinogenic to humans. So, you know, healthy plants or plants that were thought as, or foods that was thought as being healthy for us, whether it's fruits or vegetables, maybe in 5 or 10 years we find out that it's cancer-causing. So that's part of the concern with genetic engineering and its effect on humans. So let's see. I found more information about the genetic engineering of foods and the monarch butterfly. So I was a little off. I wanted to correct that. So basically, what happens is the genetically engineered plants are dusted with this corn are dusted with corn pollen. And unfortunately, we can't keep the corn pollen in those 10 acres. So they kind of drift, right, with the winds. And then they were landing on a plant called milkweed leaves, which the monarch butterfly caterpillars feed on. And they were eating the mutated or genetically altered corn pollen. And they noticed, or the scientists noticed that these monarch butterflies were now smaller, and the caterpillars were smaller, and they had less of an appetite, and also they were sterile. So that's part of the problem with genetically engineering plants, is we can't, unfortunately, keep it confined to a certain area that we want to, research or have the research study done or the experiment done. And that was the uproar we had in Hawaii, you know. In Hawaii, they're genetically engineering corn, for instance, and they were supposed to follow certain rules to try to minimize, if not eliminate, the chance of the genetically engineered pollens or whatever they're doing from spreading outside of the farm. And they weren't following their rules, and that's why there was a lot of uproar about these farmers or these drug companies that was doing research with genetic engineering. Let's see. Okay. So what can you do to protect yourself? Well, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, the United States Department of Agriculture has set up a system that will tell people what foods are genetically engineered and which ones aren't, and it's very simple. For sure, you know this plant hasn't been genetically engineered at all is if they have the USDA sticker on it that says organic. And it's a kind of a greenish type of sticker, and it's round, and you're either going to see it on the box, the bottle, on the fruit itself or vegetable itself, or above the fruit in the grocery store. You know, they have a section or a label that says, you know, certified organic, USDA certified organic. So that is the only way a food can be labeled you can tell if this food has not been genetically altered. So unfortunately, though, it has to be one, genetically unaltered, meaning normal, and organic. So you're going to get the best of everything when you buy organic foods. So you know, if you're concerned about genetically engineered foods, you want to eat foods that have the USDA sticker on it that says certified organic USDA. All right, let me tell you which foods now have been genetically engineered. So like I said, according to the FDA, about two-thirds of the processed foods in the United States supermarkets contain genetically engineered plants or fruits or vegetables. So there's actually quite a big list of genetically engineered foods, but I'm going to just name these because these are the more common of the foods that have been altered. They are soy, corn, tomatoes, potatoes, papaya, and canola have been genetically approved to be genetically modified in the United States. All right, so again, they are soy, so everything to do with soy. You know, and unfortunately, a lot of the foods that we eat have soy in it. You see soy isolated proteins, soy isolates. They are genetically altered in a packaged food or a canned food or a boxed food. So that soy has been genetically altered. So soy, corn is in a lot of stuff too. You know, cornmeal, tortillas, you know, those kinds of foods, popcorn. Tomatoes, one of the favorite vegetables of America. Potatoes, yeah. Papaya, as Cheryl had mentioned, as well as canola. Okay, canola oil being one of the more widely used oils today, genetically altered. So I do not believe olive oil has been genetically altered yet. So olive oil would be maybe one of the oils you may want to switch to if you're using canola or corn oil. All right. Let's see, any other interesting facts? Genetic engineering may be linked with a resurgence of infectious diseases. In the Journal of Microbial Ecology and Health and Disease, sounds pretty heady to me, not a journal I typically read, reported in 1998 that commercial gene technology may be behind a recent resurgence of drug and antibiotic resistant infectious diseases, according to Dr. Mei Wang Ho. She states, while natural vectors respect species barriers, that means, you know, insects stays with insects, dogs with dogs, cats with cats, humans with humans, fish with fish, the barrage of artificial vectors may be made by genetic engineers are designed to cross species barriers, thus greatly enhancing the potential for creating new viral and bacterial pathogens and spreading drug and antibiotic resistance. So along with the papaya virus, antivirus, let's say, that they put into the papaya, what Dr. Mei Wang Ho is saying is that it could be causing problems for our human body, making viruses and bacteria more resistant, causing more disease in us. Totally unrelated pathogens are showing up with identical virulence and antibiotic resistant genes. So very interesting in that point. Let's see if there's any other interesting information that I may be able to give you. Patrick's on the line. Hey, Patrick, thanks for calling in. Do you have input or a question?
Yeah, hi, Dr. Uchida. I wanted to thank you for this program. I think it's a very important one. You know, the one thing about Hawaii is that it has become like a laboratory for GE food. So many of the producers are interested in using Hawaii as an experimental ground for, you know, using all these potential foods. The only problem is, of course, that they are not willing to tell us where it's being done because they fear that they might be sabotaged in some way. So it's very secretive. I have been to a lot of forums on the issue and lectures at the University of Hawaii and other places in Hawaii that have talked about it. Sometimes they have representatives from the UH who are in favor of it, like the Tropical Agriculture Department.
Okay.
And they tell about all the wonderful things that they've done for the papaya and everything.
Right.
But a lot of it is, of course, very much supported by the U.S. government and also by the Hawaii state government and Hawaii state agriculture. But we as consumers have very little information ourselves on it. You said that, you know, go for organic food, and you're certainly right about that. But the producers are very unwilling to label the food, to let the consumers know about it. So the only way that you can really be sure, as you said, is to go for organic food, support the health food stores, Down to Earth, and the other people that support your program and have organic food, and also try to educate yourself about the issue because it's very important for their health and also for the state of agriculture in our state. And you might mention maybe some of the sources that you've pulled from so perhaps some of the listeners could access websites and information that you need.
Yes.
And one last thing
is go ahead.
The Hawaii organic farmers have been very, and other organic farmers across the country and the world in Europe, for instance, have been very concerned about the drifting of, like you spoke of, of these GE foods that are adjacent to organic farmers and people that don't do GE foods. You know, and a farmer was even sued in Canada because he had been contaminated from outside, and Monsanto, I believe, was accusing him of somehow being liable for, you know, what happened to his crop. So the farmers are very concerned about the drift and what that means to the integrity of their food. So
that's exactly true. What Patrick is saying is Hawaii is very an interesting place to have the GE or genetically engineered plants being grown because we're in the middle of the Pacific. If they have a mistake, probably just affect Hawaii, no one else. So, you know, as people that live here, we have to be concerned because it's going to affect us. Might affect just, you know, the plants and how we live today. We might start noticing very resistant bugs growing or termites for those who own homes. So they could cause great problems. The farmers are concerned because the pollens of these genetically altered plants, the pollens will drift in the air and infect, let's put it that way, organic food. So if it infects these organic farms are no longer organic anymore. And that's the problem. You cannot contain the pollens to stay in these 5-10 acres of this genetically engineered farm. So big problems with genetic engineering, difficult to contain. The world is a big place. Things can happen very fast. Things can drift from one state to the next. That's why Hawaii is a popular choice to experiment with genetically engineered foods. Pat, you still with me?
Yeah. Okay. And I just want to mention one thing about the papaya here, if people are concerned about it. My understanding was that the rainbow papaya is the genetically engineered one. The others, I'm not sure about. Kahuku, Sunrise, there are organic papayas available.
Okay.
But the rainbow is the one that is definitely genetically engineered, and that's why you see it so plentiful at lower prices. They're really trying to push it in the market. And the one other thing about, for instance, U.S. government was pressuring Europe and Japan to accept our genetically engineered products, which they were very resistant to doing.
Mm. And the reasons that Patrick and I gave, the reasons why they're not wanting to accept our foods. All right. Pat, great call.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. If anyone else has a question on genetically engineered foods, give us a call again at 524-1080. Again, the foods that are commonly engineered in the United States are soy, soybean, everything to do with soy, whether it's tofu, soybean, soy sauce, miso, natto, even processed foods that have soy protein isolates or anything soy in it has been genetically altered. Corn and its products like tortillas and tomatoes and everything that the tomato, ketchup, those kinds of things. Potatoes, papaya, and canola, I guess most engineered among the foods that we eat in the United States. So about 2/3 of the processed foods in the United States supermarkets have been genetically engineered according to the United States federal government, the FDA. So if you're not wanting to eat genetically modified foods, the only way you can be sure not to get a genetically modified food is by eating USDA certified organic products, okay? So it has to have a stamp on it or a label on it, and or a sign will be above the plant, above the produce or the produce. So again, if you have any questions on genetically modified foods, give us a call at 524-1080. Let's see if we have other kind of information for you. All right. Okay, we have 5 minutes left. All right. Also, yes, this is a health food talk show, so we also have to mention that flax has been genetically modified, okay, so flax. So if you're going to use flaxseed oil, flax seeds, if you're concerned about genetically modified flax, then you want to use the certified organic flax seed oils and flax seeds. Beets is another commonly genetically altered vegetable. All right. Let's see. All right, I think we covered most of the topics that concern scientists about genetically engineered foods. Again, there are very few studies that show that genetically engineered foods are going to be safe for human health. Concern is that genetically engineered foods will trigger a lot more food allergies or allergies in people. That genetically engineered foods are going to create new toxins that are harmful to human health, whether it's cancers to just other kinds of toxins. Maybe it might create a new type of protein that our digestive tract and our immune system hasn't seen before that can be toxic. So most toxic things, the venoms in bees and wasps and snakes, typically are protein-based. So we may be introduced to a toxic protein that can cause damage to our health from the genetically engineered foods. Genetically engineered foods may lead to antibiotic resistance. Genetically engineered foods may be linked to the resurgence of infectious diseases all over the world. So today in America, anyway, we're very concerned with a flesh-eating bacteria, right? Where was that 10 years ago, 20 years ago? It was nowhere. It just came on the scene, what, about like 6 years ago or so? Right when we started. I'm not saying that genetically engineered foods cause it, but possibly. There's some things that may have happened in all of our genetic structures that have caused some problems to come about. Some of the sources I use, I use the internet a lot. So you can go to this website called joeorganic.com, J-O-E, organic.com. There's a Organic Consumers Association campaigning for food safety, organic agriculture, fair trade, and sustainability. Again, that's the Organic Consumers Association. Let's see, where else? Here's the one. The campaign to label genetically engineered foods. So it's called the campaign campaign.com. That's campaign.com. And you can also go to the FDA website to learn about, and the United States Department of Agriculture website to learn about organic foods. So it's, I don't have the website, unfortunately, U.S. Department of Department of Agriculture. Just look for organic foods, and you'll find information on organic foods. We have about a minute and a half left. Sorry to say our time is up. I want to thank all of you for joining me tonight.